That's right. Mic check. That's right, mic check. We are live right here in the studio. Live in the station right now. Sunny South Florida. Excitement Radio, Ben Hop. We here, baby. And I have a special guest in the building. Uh-oh, round of applause. Hold on. Let me get it going.
Let's go.
Let me get it. Yeah. Special guest. Got my brother Deep in the building. Round of applause, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm good, my brother.
Let me make sure I got you on the right mic here. There you go. Where you at?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah. There you go.
I'll be here.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm all right, man. You know what? Every day, you know, that I wake up and I breathe is a good day. So.
That's a good day. It's a good, hot, humid day, but it's still a good day.
There you go. You in South Florida now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Welcome, goddamn.
So shout out to you, my brother. Round of applause to you, man. And, you know, I just got to say thank you to your team for reaching out to get you on the station here. And, I appreciate you finding time in your day. And let me start this live also. I appreciate you finding time in your day to out, you know, and chop it up with me. Now, I've been reading the EPK, the bio, all of this. Boy, you got a lot of things, a lot of accomplishments under your belt here. And definitely I want, you know, my audience and people who may not be too familiar with you to know more about you and to see all the things that you have accomplished. So thank you so much, like I said. So just to introduce you real quick, I said I have a Grammy Award winning R&B artist Deep in the house. He based out of LA, California, and you've done song. Who's that? Is that my phone? My wife calling me at the wrong time.
You being summoned.
Yeah, that's right. I should put this
on. Say,
hey, babe, I'm good. Let me put this on focus mode so she do not disturb. But yeah.
Don't get in trouble, dog. Don't get in trouble.
Yes. So with that being said, I see that you worked alongside singing backgrounds for big names in the game like Beyonce, Kanye West, John Legend, Bruce Springsteen, Chance the Rapper, just to name a few, because I saw a lot more. I don't want to do all the talking. I want you to do the talking. So let's do this. First of all, tell people how you even got in the game. Like, how you even got into the entertainment game and doing what you're doing? Like, what even led you to this?
That's a long journey.
I'm
trying to give you the cliff notes.
Can you move up just a little bit?
Absolutely, I got you.
There you go.
It's a long journey. I'm going to try to give you the cliff notes.
Okay.
I'm born and raised H-Town, Houston, Texas.
All right.
There's a song that said, what y'all know about them Texas boys?
Okay.
But I started off in the gospel music industry. My mom was a part of a choir called Southeast Inspirational Choir.
Okay.
And it spawned the careers of some very heavy hitters, producers, and singers, from Greg Curtis as the mega producer, producing for Keisha Cole and Omarion, to artists like Yolanda Adams, who's gone on to become gospel legends, and Reese Joyner and people like that. So I grew up in a very rich musical background family. And as I was living, and I had a son at the age of 20. I just turned 21, like 2 months before he was born. And I wanted to start singing songs that were kind of applicable to what I was going through.
Right.
I wanted to talk about the things that was happening in reality for me. And at the time, you kind of had to make a choice between the church and the charts.
Between the church world and the secular world.
And the secular world. Are we going there? At that time, you know, it was very much you sang because it was a gift that God gave you, and you would be blessed by, you know, vision or things like that. But then when you really wanted to start talking about other things, it was kind of taboo. To be considered gospel.
Right.
And so even when I jump in, I hear all the time, oh, you're an R&B artist. I'm like, yo, it's crazy, because I wasn't in love. I wasn't sorry. I wasn't hurt. I hadn't, you know, a lot of the things. Baby, I'm sorry. You know, all of that.
That R&B artist go through, right?
The point and grab, and none of that was me.
Right.
I was just like chilling, you know, trying to find my way. How do I talk about, you know, what I did want in a relationship? So my first single, Something More.
Okay.
Reach Radio out in D.C. and New York. And I started like signing like these you want a record deal things. They used to have these ads on magazines. You want a record deal. And I know what I was doing, man. I was sending my little demo tape and my fake bio and all of that thing, you know, fake it till you make it. And was submitting myself to like different do you want a record deal situations. And I did. I ended up getting some opportunities through Vibe magazine.
Awesome.
And then the label out in D.C., Versatile Records, I signed with them first.
Okay.
Fast forward from there, the lead singer of the group that I joined, Signature, out in New York, I signed with them.
Yeah.
Their lead singer left and became the newest member of Drew Hill. So I was able to fill in that slot with them and do some amazing things and work. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of continued from there. I left from, took a quick break.
Okay.
Admittedly, and it's something to all the entrepreneurs out there and people that's in the industry. You know, you win like 3 times, in my opinion.
Right.
It's the third time that's the real big one. But I needed a break. Me and the group broke up. I did so much, it was very, very fast. And I looked up and was like, yo, I thought that was it.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
thought the record deals, mm-hmm. I thought the TV appearances, I thought that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to LA, it was the first time I moved without any label backing me.
Okay.
You know, without any funding.
Why you chose LA? Why?
New York, it was too expensive to stay.
Okay. That's true.
Under the experience that I had, I was signed and our label was doing very, very well. And mm-hmm. I doubled as a artist development liaison between the label and the group.
Right.
Which kind of later on will play into where my career took me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some family in LA, so mm-hmm. it was easier. And then when we were in New York, during that time, especially.
LA expensive too now.
It's expensive, but right. I have family. You know? New York was all like business relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, people that I met on the grind and doing the things. And while we're very dope, you don't really just, you know, can I crash on your couch like that?
There you go.
So it was that, man. But I had gotten accustomed to Atlanta and LA because though signed in New York, we did a lot of the work out in LA.
Okay.
So you build relationships and go to LA for Grammy season and, doing the things. So it became kind of a second home for me because of my dad's side of the family being out there.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of relationships that I had built over the tenure of my career at that time were out there and were like second family.
Mm.
So when I went there, it was the idea. I had an opportunity to become the creative director for this entertainment facility.
Mm.
And that's what I thought. I'm done with like being in the foreground. I'm done with that. And there was other plans, man. I got out there and it went 0 to 1,000. And we back, you know?
Yeah. So like I said, your journey took you from one place to another place to another place. Let me ask you, did that like influence how you was, you know, going to make your music in the future? How you was going to make your, because I see you did some acting too. You did a lot of acting. Is it because you went to LA and you got into that?
It always kind of started. I did my first commercial with Six Flags when I was mad young.
Okay.
You know, so
which one? I know Six Flags in New Jersey, I'm saying.
This was in Houston, Six Flags.
Oh, okay.
They talk Astroworld. It's famous now because of the Astroworld. That's what it was. It was crazy. I had a job there for a quick stint. And then up being in a commercial for one of their new
guys. Awesome.
Yeah. So the career's always had that balance.
Right.
You kind of, if you are a artist,
right.
Most times you'll be a model as well. So I did a lot of print modeling campaigns and things, different brands. But by way of that, you know, so if you have a little personality and which most of us have kind of outgoing personalities,
right.
There's roles that we just kind of fall into that the acting hands itself.
Okay.
And lends itself to. Yeah, so, I was burnt.
Let me ask you, did you have to, is that something you had to prepare for?
Nah.
You know, because I know with the music, you say you came from a musical background. But with the acting, it was more natural for you? Or?
It's more natural in regards to, I look at people that go to classes for real. I took some classes, don't get me wrong, but it was not official like that. I went to performing arts schools.
Okay, there you
go. And so the schools that I went to had you do, and even the ensemble theater during the summertime, they had you do multiple disciplines. So I played piano, I was actor, I had to dance, I had to learn all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have a kind of like an educational background.
Absolutely. My degree is in education, but my educated experiences all run the gamut of entertainment.
Awesome. Okay, that's great. Now, and back to like the music, because I see that you've been working with some big names.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Like, how did you was able to connect with these people?
Well, I thought I was through, you know, but I live by a mantra that nothing is happenstance. Everything happens for a reason, right?
Okay.
And so I had already did the solo career joint. I had already did the group, you know, you wanted to break out members from this group. So I did these things and I watched during my career the industry change.
Right.
The presence of radio, internet radio, and different things. And so you almost kind of feel like, well, I already did a lot of this beginning stuff. You want me to start over? And labels admittedly didn't know really what to do with us. And so because the degree being in education and the other skill sets, the modeling, the acting, me being in L.A., I was just around people. My first music video was with Jill Scott and Anthony Hamilton, and I became very featured in that video. And so I was able to go from there and do Usher and Wale's Matrimony and Bang Bang with Jessie J and Nicki Minaj and them. And so I was finding my way in that space. And just doing everything. I started getting calls to do some background and extra work in TV shows like Will and Grace and things like that me on set. That led into me doing some, you kind of do stand-in work, you know. And so now you work directly with the production team, the cameraman, and the actors and things like that. So for the first time ever, I wasn't focused on music, to keep it a buck. Because when I left gospel music, I knew that I wanted to sing. And so I went secular with the idea of freedom through my pen. I can talk about what I want to talk about. I can talk about, oh, this chick and my son, and we're not together, and what is that? You know, I can go from there. But then there was, I found myself hopping out of one box to a whole new set of boxes. R&B is, you know, and me being in New York, they're like, you got to say mother with a V, like, yo.
Oh, you got to use the New York slang. That's what it was.
Hey, yo, B, what's good? You know. And then I joined a group member with three other New Yorkers. You know, so it was finding that and finding myself here. You are in another creative box,
right?
And I don't think sometimes we know we're in boxes until we become uncomfortable. And so it was in LA that when it got time, Beyonce was the first, I would say, official time that I knew I was being called for background singing. Prior to her, man, like a lot of things that you do in the industry, it just happens. So like the stuff with the Kimberrills and those Yolanda things happened because of my association with the church.
Right.
And then the people that I grew up with. So as they became bigger stars, opportunities opened.
Right.
But as far as official, like somebody calling me for a gig, knowing specifically I'm going as the background singer, that was for Beyonce, for Precious Lord.
How was that when you got that call, man? That's something big now. You dealing with one of the biggest stars out there.
Well, it was mixed feelings, man, to be honest. I had a friend that was moving to LA, so I didn't renew my lease. She and I was going to find a place together. So I found myself homeless while singing on stage with on one of the biggest stages of music with one of the biggest artists of our time. So it was hard to celebrate because there's money in my pocket, but my pocket's in my car with me because I'm homeless, technically.
Got you.
You know, so the optics didn't match the reality. And so it was kind of hard to really, really think about it in that regard. And then personally, man, you got to remember, I was going from a solo career. So though this was an honor, I was also dealing with the internal dynamics of, is this a failure in my own personal career walk? You feel me?
That's
where it went for me.
So that's kind of hard. Like you said, it's kind of hard to celebrate that when you're kind of going through, you know, some situations. Let me ask you, what would you say to an artist that was going through something like that? Like, what kind of advice would you give somebody that would be, like, in a position like that?
To show up authentically. To show up authentically. What was really, really dope about all of those opportunities that I was picture boxed, I was very visible. So though I took it as an L, those were one of the required L's that were necessary for me to get to the win.
Right.
So really believe that nothing is happenstance. Understand that your journey does not mirror anybody else's. There are things that I'm receiving creatively that I'm able to do that I know, had that happened for me prematurely, I wouldn't be ready. The stuff I'm working on, like I'm making the best music of my life for me, finally.
Okay.
But it's not something that I would have said I would have been able to do or even mentally gotten there had I had that level of wins too early in my career. So like, just ride the waves for real.
It's a good way of breaking it down. Yeah. I appreciate that. Let me go back to the music now. Now, let me ask you what kind of feedback you got from going from a gospel background to now doing the secular stuff.
Yo.
I know you caught a lot of slack.
But you know what's crazy? Why? Like, everybody, but we got Casey and JoJo. We got Aretha Frank. Like, yo, this been in the
But that's what I'm saying.
It's what we do.
Exactly. Yo. I mean, why you think that happens like that? Oh, what were you going through when you was going through that?
Let's go there real quick. Go there. Like, what is the issue with the church? I'm a preacher's kid, so there's already this idea that we're bad, we the rebels and all of that. And I think that what it is more clarity to that is that we have an inside track and an inside view to religion. The layers and dynamics of that that everyone isn't necessarily
so
given.
You should, in other words, a preacher's kid, you should know more about...
We got the inside now, so it's hard for me to just, you know, put this person on a pedestal and that's my dad. Or that's my mom, you know, so we don't see the, you know how on social media now you see the best filtered version of everybody,
You never see the best.
So imagine we get it all, you know, so what you consider bad is just some questions that are going to come up for us that are not going to come up for you because you haven't lived this life.
Right.
So when I got ready to go over to the R&B side, it came during a big breakup of my core family. So it just was fresh. I got to really graduate my senior year in high school I lived on my own. Mm. So I got to really create, who is this person? Mm-hmm. What's my integrity? What's my grind? Because I got to eat, but I got to go to school. And I'm popular at school, so how do I maintain that? You know, but now I'm going to talk about relationships and things that are in the secular world, but all I know is gospel. Mm-hmm. So I originally got a lot of interest because I could sing, I'm talented, I could write, I had the look, I had mm-hmm. the energy, mm-hmm. I had support and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I was a label's dream. Mm-hmm. But the label still, at that time, was dealing with the newness of social media,
right.
The newness of internet. So there was, and that's not just, you know, specific to me, but that's any of those artists
right.
at the time.
Right, at the time.
Yeah,
correct.
After that whole, what's the girl? Beyonce, mm. Omari, Yon, who else? You had Usher, mm-hmm. Britney Spears, that's a whole class of people. Alicia Keys, that's a class that's a very specific time mm-hmm. in music.
That's true.
And then there's a long gap, if you think about it, between yes. them and the arrival of Chris Brown.
Right.
I fell in between that.
Ah.
So I'm where there's a whole group of us that have helped make people's career and be supportive because that's where we got placed when they didn't know what to do.
We didn't know. And I could attest to that because I've worked with an artist back in the days that, same thing, the label didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know what to do with them, you know, because I guess the people in those that position, they're not like, the people that, well, I'm not going to say, but I feel like, they may not be the right person for that position. Because if they can't see you and say, I see Deep doing this, they might not be the right
But person. We had to change in on the guards, man. So you got to remember, like, when the industry changed, it impacted y'all just like it impacted us. So now you have music directors and program directors that don't really understand music.
Exactly.
So,
but they're the ones that's directing.
They're making decisions about the music.
Exactly.
You know, so the same thing at the labels, man. You have people that are signing talents or ARs that can't play an instrument, nor can they have a musical conversation.
Correct.
So what you then start greenlighting is music that has now doesn't intimidate your ability to hear, doesn't challenge your ability to be the person in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start green lighting things that don't challenge you or, you know, that you can understand.
Right.
And if you can't understand musicality, then that's going to be pushed to the side. But so you have a lot of R&B music and artists and things like that, prolific type writers and things pushed to the side. I'm a part of that group. You know, but with the background singing, it gave me enough visibility that the public still saw me. So organically, the fans were still looking at what's going on with you. So I would do little stuff like drop a single here and there,
but
nothing really that I was putting a lot of my time and energy into until recently.
So let me ask you now, with the R&B, right? That's what you consider yourself an R&B artist?
I don't consider myself R&B.
What do you consider yourself?
Because I think R&B is what you just tell everybody that's black and you're not rapping. What genre are you? R&B? It's like, are you singing for the Lord? I guess, you know. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's hard. It's not a box. You're like, what do you categorize Prince?
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to
Michael
say.
Michael Jackson. What do you
exactly?
Because
you can't call him an R&B singer. And the reason I'm asking you that question because, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like the R&B of today is not the traditional R&B that I'm kind of like used to, like back in the days. How do you feel like you fit in this new wave of sound of music with the R&B? And that's what I'm trying to get at.
I think it's dope right now. We're experiencing a moment where there is a resurgence and interest in R&B.
Right.
But we're also realizing how big and inclusive R&B is that maybe it has more of an understanding of pop, like when we consider
Correct.
That as a genre.
Because
what does it feel good? What is pop? It's popular.
Right, that's
you
it.
You know, so we know that. Mm-hmm. And hip-hop has now become popular. So I remember resisting my hip-hop understand the connectivity, even skill set, but on this project that's coming up, I'm rapping.
Oh, you're doing that too?
So how is that even necessarily, it wouldn't be considered R&B. I think the two songs, matter of fact, I know the two songs that we sent you, very minimal singing. Very, very minimal singing. And so what I did this project, man, and I stopped leaning into genre and I leaned into what I feel.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
From a passion place.
Yeah.
I think other people have to try to feel, you know, we like boxes. What are you, R&B singer?
Right. Don't box yourself.
Yeah,
man. You're right. So, no, I agree with you. I always ask that question because, you know, sometimes I feel like as an artist, you should know who you're trying to attract, and like you said, you're not putting yourself in a box saying that, oh, I'm an R&B or I'm this. No, I'm an artist, you know, and I could do like multiple styles and fashion of stuff. I think that's the way to go now. Exactly. So,
and
so,
actually be good at it. And it be authentic good at it. And correct, true. One of the things that I teach a lot of my clients that come to me for artist development or vocal coaching is what's real to you.
Mm-hmm.
The listener, whether they are specialists in music or not, they can always determine real. Even if it has a little gas on it, because we know that the character has a little gas, but we all know whether or not that's authentic, if that person really, really feels that or not. And so with this project, that's what I did. I went in to do what felt good, what was honest with where my journey was, with all my experiences, and I knew that it would relate to people because nobody has, you know, nothing's new under the sun.
Correct.
That's how I've heard it growing up. And I'm starting to realize that, like, oh, I'm going through this, but there's a whole bunch of people that's going through this with me as well. And, man, when I look at it, the limitations of genre were preventing my ability to truly create.
There you go.
So I had to abandon those things. But I figure like this, if I don't listen to the same music all the time, but I won't people to listen to my music anytime, am I creating music that can fit into
anytime,
any moment?
There you go.
Do I have the celebration music? Do I have the, oh, I'm feeling lonely, I broke up, I'm in pain, or I lost someone, or I'm introspective, where am I supposed to go in life? You know, am I able to provide that and still call myself deep? Because the definition of my name suggests that I should be able to.
Deep, right. That's there you go. The name itself is deep. So there you go.
What do I do, create shallows? You know, nah.
So as far as creating music, you know, as far as creating, you write all your stuff. How you get with producers and, like, say, people like that? Like, do you have a certain group of producers you work with? Mm-hmm. Like how you get?
I think you try to. No, I work with several producers. There were some producers like Botts and LaJuan Samuels that produced for me for years, produced with me and for me for years.
For years.
And then this time around, I went outside the box of just relationship.
Okay.
And I've been investing in myself and spending money, but I still have some things from LaJuan Samuels on this project, and Botts did a little bit of mixing for me, but I have some other producers like Mark Bird, who produced on Life of Pablo, who's on this project. And I have I got Biscuit and Butter, who produced John Legend's Tonight and a whole range of things that's on there. I called in Emil Harris, who wrote Love Don't Cost a Thing for J-Lo, to come and lend her pen.
Let me ask you a question. Because you were doing, like, you was in the business and all that, was it easier for you to reach out to these people and for them to say, I got you, brother. I got you. I got you.
It's easier to get the call through.
You can get the call through.
It's the call through. But it's a whole other dynamics. At the end of the day, they do know who I work with. And so there's this assumption of, you should be able to pay this. So I'm not new enough of an artist to be given the grace or the belief support that's necessary for any artist to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what artist you are, old, new, established or not, there takes a certain amount of belief and connectivity amongst people in all different facets, and, you know, the radio side.
Right.
Say, I'm gonna rock with you. So I think what happens, though, when you're not in that newness and we don't know you enough, even when we don't know you, by the time we read your resume and time we read your bio, we're either impressed, intimidated, or what can I get from this?
Right.
A lot of times for producers, it's the money grab.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, the reason that we're striking on, you know, union, how we're paid. We're not paid how we should.
Right.
So you find yourself, because you have a relationship with these people, you can get a call through, but they're still trying to eat as well.
They're still trying to eat.
You know, and it's like, well, we on the same gig. You know, you're a producer and you're a musician. You know we're not on tour right now. Why would you charge me that? So it's been an interesting balance.
I'm glad you shared that with us. Yeah.
But let me say this now on record. If you can't afford them and they won't work with you because you can't afford them, you're not supposed to work with them.
Okay, break that down to me. Break that down. Hold on. Now that's deep. That's deep. Break that down to me.
Well, we'll go start chasing the bag to.
So if we can't afford
this, you can't afford to work with that producer.
Work with that producer, then what was it again that you shouldn't work with
them? It ain't time. It ain't the time.
Okay.
You can't afford it.
Right.
So now you're about to stop the progress. You're going to stop your brand's progress. You're going to stop your purpose to be diverted on this path to afford somebody for what? Accolades, likes, name dropping? When reality is, any producer that really wants to work with you will work with
you. We won't. Exactly.
I can't even say the amount that these you know, two producers charged me because that's off the record.
Right.
But they did really, really well with looking at my passion, looking at my project,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to work with me. And so I felt that even in the way that they charged me. So the people that were, I was trying to drop money on and spending uh-huh. more than I knew, I should have never did. And it was money wasted. Yeah.
But like you said, it's a lesson learned.
It's lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
That's why I'm passing it to y'all.
There you go. and this is what I'm saying. This is how, you know, a lot of the people in the music business, this is how you get to learn stuff, because you listen to experiences yeah. that, you know, you guys go through. So, you know, that's great that you was able to share that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And offer services too, Doc.
Okay.
Offer services. If you know that you don't have a budget for producers,
okay.
ask producers what can you do to help them before you ever ask them for something.
Right.
Stop just asking for things. What are you giving? What are you bringing to the table? We understand that about relationships romantically. That's the same thing with people that are supposed to be in your life for a season, a reason, right. or a lifetime, and that includes workers. Yeah, I want your production. I should automatically know I should have a budget. So,
right.
if I go and you tell me that budget is not that, but let's say if I don't have the budget, before you start asking, go and ask them what they need. Producers need all kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
They need assistance. They need, they just need help.
They need help.
They need help.
Right, because it takes away from their creativity on producers, so they need that help.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to learn it, and now you're going to build a rapport, and you'll be able to get there.
Almost like a barter system, right? Kind of like, you know, I'm gonna help you out, you help me out, and let's get this project going. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's definitely good advice right there for people out there that's trying to, you know, get these big names. So make sure you have something that you can offer also. Okay. You know, I hear that you're a Kappa, of course.
Of course.
And then I see you celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday to you, by the way.
The Virgo's in the building, September 4th.
There you go. My niece is a Virgo. So
what
she
up,
just,
niece?
Yeah, my niece also. You know, I'm a Libra, so I'm coming up at the end of the month.
You know, we left y'all a little bit of sauce. It's a little residual sauce down there at the end of the month.
Yeah. So is this your first time in South Florida? Like, is this your first time coming out here, or have you been here before?
I've been here before. I actually forgot, but I was here on my birthday last year.
Oh, for real?
Yeah,
okay,
before I was doing a series of travel to some different spots. But
uh-huh.
I'm usually in and out of Miami very, very quickly.
Okay.
Very, very quickly. But I've been here frequently, quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to, like, you know, as far as, let me ask you about this. I see you got a company, too.
Mm.
Think Deep Entertainment, and I was reading it. Was this something you put together last year? When did you open
it? It's been open, but I transferred it into an actual S corp last year because understanding the business.
Okay.
Honestly, y'all, we gotta know the business. There's no real retirement plan in what we do.
And what's the whole purpose to teach?
Well, so I do a broad range of things under the Deep. I think Deep Entertainment, but I have a thing called the Deep Experiences where we take special moments, brands, or we do partnerships with brands or different initiatives and motives to make an experience curated to meet the needs of that specific thing. So, for example, I did the keynote speaking at Long Beach, the very first black graduation in Long Beach history
awesome.
This year. And instead of them putting like keynote speaker, I wanted them to do the Deep Experience, where I was able to pour into 400 black graduates, seniors that was graduating this year.
That's awesome.
It was amazing, man. It came off of my book, Fall Back to Step Up, I released last year.
There you go.
And so I released that under the Deep Think Deep Entertainment. I've also released other clients. There's a hip hop artist by the name of JG and a Latin recording artist by the name of Bianca Acosta, who I actually brought out here to Miami while she was still working with me. But it's a platform in order to be able to come in and handle all needs for entertainment needs.
So somebody reach out to you and say, hey, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You help them out with
we want to create this particular thing. We want to go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
We want our artist needs development. We need a writer to come in. I contract musicians and creative talent across the country.
That's good. Now, that's a good way of connecting people. I like
Absolutely.
That. Somebody comes to you and they say, we need you. I need you mentioned a tour.
Yeah.
You hear their product.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in your mindset, you feel like it may not be up to par for a tour. How would you handle a situation like that?
Well, I don't work with anybody, just anybody.
Okay.
I vet them very much so. Everybody has a different level in which they're starting from.
You know,
so
you
there's
go.
No plug and play. And just because I don't feel it doesn't mean that the world won't. You know, so I don't say no based off of that. That's not where my no comes into play. I also don't think
so. When does a no come into play?
Your attitude, how you showing up, what energy I get from you, what's your vibe? Is it cohesive? If
right.
you know, is it all, we talked about authenticity. Right, you know, right, if you're telling me, you know, your music is saying you bought that life. And then when we get around each other, you're not about that life. I don't know how to, I can't work with that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
you know, whatever it is that you say you're selling, it is our job to help make that something that can be monetized, but also something that will help platform your particular individualized creative purpose. So whatever that is, we have to make sure that, you know, we getting you ready. So some people, that includes vocal coaching, that includes artist development on the red carpet. How do you show up for interviews?
Okay.
We do interview training. Some one of my hip hop artists came in from Chicago, and so I created rap battle.
Oh,
so
okay,
I went in our rehearsal space at Amp Studio, and I called some of my hip hop heads that were, you know, extremely talented and very established in the city, break them off a little bit of something to come through, and we created a cipher
that artist was able to participate in that and get the real feel with that.
You jump in with other hip hop artists that's not holding back? They come in with bars off the dome.
We're going to smack you up with this.
We're going. You know, by the same measure, though, that morning they had to meet with one of my trainer friends to do fitness. They had to meet with my nutritionist to talk about what's your diet. They had to meet with one of my stylists. So the Think Deep Entertainment is your one shop.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Damn, you even got the nutritionist?
Yeah,
well, I need to work on this six-pack right here.
Y'all, he brought the six-pack.
I need to work on it. I got the 12-pack right now, but I need to... But okay, so that's actually awesome, man, that you do all of that, which there's definitely a niche for that because I do a show every Monday. I've been doing it since like the past 12 years, just strictly independent artists. And there's a lot of artists out there that need that guidance, that need that, what you're offering. So it's definitely a niche for that. So that's good. So you guys out there, definitely get out. Reach out to Think Deep Entertainment. They don't have to live.
Yeah, no. I work with clients all the time.
Okay, so it doesn't
all across the country.
Okay.
And what'll happen is if I need to come in, let's say if we're getting you together for tour prep, you know, then I'll come in and then we'll make sure, you know, we'll see first of all, what's the vision? What's your goal?
Okay.
What's our budgets? Even sometimes when you don't have the budgets, let's figure out, do we have enough time to raise budget?
Okay, gotcha.
You know, so we'll come in and say, you know, where are your things that get funding? Where's your EPK? Mm-hmm. You know, where the things like that, and then to help them come in so they can help pitch. You know, so it just depends on what it is. But the level of access that you need is based off of your project. So
gotcha.
When I work with my clients that are in Chicago, I'll fly out there for two weeks to a month mm-hmm. to work with both of them simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
With one of my clients, T-Mar, she went and opened up for Duran Bernard in this last tour. Mm-hmm. I was her creative director, so I went on the road with her and did certain spot dates to make sure that the show flowed, communication from the stage, creative, to the house, to the, you know, doing the things necessary. So we give where we gotta get.
That's good. No, that's actually good. That's good. That's actually good because, like you said, I feel like that's where a lot of artists are falling short. Like they only think about the music, but they're not looking at the business. Like, it's a business. So
I don't think they're looking at the music.
That's true.
So I'm saying, are they looking at the bag? You know, it was the quick bag.
There you go. There you go. Like, you're right about that.
But not the loan bag. If they was looking at the loan bag, they might look at the music a little bit harder. But I'm just saying.
Let me ask you, if you had to change anything, like say if you could go back and just change something to say, you know what, let me change this. Is there anything you would change?
I would have spent less on other people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nothing else.
All right. So
I would have spent less. Every left turn that I thought was supposed to be a right turn was necessary for me to get here. I really stand on nothing as happenstance. There's some lyrics to one of my favorite songs right now that I wouldn't have if I didn't experience that.
Got you.
But none of them lyrics say that I had to spend that amount of money on other people.
Got
so
you.
If I could change that. And that's, I'm talking about friends, dealing with the guilt of being popular and visible and successful, so not want to be told you Hollywood, are you changing? So, you know, opening up tabs for people to be comfortable in the idea that you're not leaving them behind. So there's a lot of things just in that space of trying to make sure that you're giving back to what you perceive as the people that are giving to you. There is a responsibility to those people as your fan base and your support system, but it should never drain you.
There you go. Yeah. Let's do this. We got the songs here. Which one would you like me to play, man? I got You tell me. Let's give them a taste of what we got here. I got two songs here. Which one would you like?
Let's do It Ain't Ever Enough.
All right, let's
it
do that.
It ain't ever enough, because it ain't.
Oh, man. All right, go ahead and introduce it. We'll jump into it. Come right back.
This is It Ain't Ever Enough off the upcoming project. This shit can't wait. Why? Because it can't.
Let's do it.
You fuck your part one, fuck your part two, and fuck your part three. You've lost your fucking mind, because I'm not in none of them pictures. You're crazy. Now you done fucking pissed me off on December the fucking 31st of 2021. What the fuck? You must be getting ready to do a part four or some shit that I don't know about. This better be a motherfucking grand presentation. That's what the fuck I know. Shit.
It ain't ever enough. 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 No matter what I do, it ain't enough for you. I come through, affirm you, uplift you, build a better, I refuel you. Create an elevated experience for you. My resources support you from my core. I adore you, expose you to a better version of you. Now you're the new. What more you want from me? Something that I cannot be. Switching on energies. Tell me what you gotta. Rejects me, you perplex me. I am the hand you're biting. The thing that I bring, better than a diamond ring, bling. I'm catering, listening, creaming. That thing, problems that you bring, I'm solving. Pleasing, encouraging, giving, exposing, leading, and yielding. I'm touching, supporting, standing, lending, pushing. I'm helping you. Who the fuck you thought I'd be? Apparently you cannot see. Ooh. Checkmate, I am king. Don't lose what you know.
There you go.
I understand, but if not, I'm pissed that you did not answer this phone.
Boy, you had that girl. That girl was selling out in the beginning. Come here. She was selling out.
She was out. She was wilding out.
Thank you, baby. I got
to. Yeah, she was committed to it.
She was wilding. Boy, she was making sure she got her point across, boy.
I think they say, you know, that's, you feel some kind of way. She was feeling some kind of way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I hear you now. I hear, like, what you were saying. Like, you know, it's a mixture of you, you know, bouncing with it and, like, rapping with it and stuff like that. Yeah. So I hear that, definitely. Yeah. You know, what's the next move? Like, what we doing?
We're doing a few things. So the audiobook for Fall Back to Step Up is coming up. I just finished the re-release of that.
Mm-hmm.
This song was It Ain't Ever Enough, and it was birthed from a space of It Just Ain't. That was a real voice note that I got. And this particular woman is somebody that has close proximity to me. You know what I mean? And so, and there's a lot of things that I have done for her in just the space of what our rapport and relationship is.
Right.
And it's like, you tripping over some pictures? Like, what's up? So when I started thinking about, like, just this project, I was actually working on an upcoming project called Edibles in Elevation.
Uh-huh.
But while doing that, you know, during pandemic, man, we started doing a lot of protesting that was going on.
Right.
And, you know, Black Lives was doing their thing and going through their thing as.
And it's called
usual.
This Shit Can't Wait, right?
This Shit Can't Wait, because it can't. during that time, I started protesting. I joined. I was laying out in the streets and doing the things,
okay.
All the things, right? And the music took a shift in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the studio working with real producers have input, not just loops. Exactly. But with these producers, because they were able to kind of meet me creatively, the vocal flow was happening because today my voice is tired. I was out protesting and yelling yesterday, but I'm inspired. I need to be in the studio tomorrow. So now I'm more, no matter what I do, it ain't enough for you. I'm spitting because vocally, that's what I have that day. But I, if I'm, again, leaning into nothing that's happenstance, it's on purpose. So I start recording songs like that, Boxes, Hoods Off, that talks about like just all the things that was kind of, not kind of, but that was actually happening in real time. It had another energy on it. It had an energy of urgency that didn't fit the vibes and the chill vibes of Edibles and Elevation.
So that's why you put the project, it's called This Shit Can't Wait.
I had to.
Okay.
There were some things that it couldn't. The plan originally was Edibles and Elevation by Summertime.
Right.
That would have pushed this out, and I feel like this music is necessary right now.
And let me ask you, Edibles and Elevation, is it what I'm thinking of? Like, when I read the title.
What you give it?
When I'm reading the title, I'm saying edibles, which is things that we could eat that give us elevation. So is it like
it's right
similar to that?
Yeah. You took an edible, you got high. That's what you,
there y'all go.
There you go. You know, there's a, just for clarity.
Okay, so but,
yeah,
that's the vibe of that one when it
comes
out.
Yeah, I'm in California, you know, where weed is legal and things, and it has been for a while, you know, and growing up in Houston, like I said, there was a lot of restrictions going up in the church world. And so when I went secular, I was, because I am a singer, I don't lean towards smoking.
Right,
edibles was an alternate. That was cool.
I get it.
I liked the mindset that it put me in. It allowed me not to.
You feel more creative on that?
Not more creative, less restricted. I've been in the game so long that when you start working in the business, your creativity always takes on the baggage of business success. You go to the studio, start saying this song has to be 3 minutes or less for it to be on radio. It has to start with this hook, okay? For X amount of years, the top hits that are considered pop play in this key signature, major chords, with the hook starting on the upper. You start business.
Right. I get it.
The
I
creative process, right? Edibles allow me not to. I didn't have to worry. It's the first time that I wasn't
Signed
under
that.
A label that was telling me what I could talk about, what I couldn't, how many verses it had to be. If I want to go in there and sing I Love You for 18 bars and then end with, but I hate you, and that was the song, that was the song.
Got you. So it's more freedom.
It's freedom, but I styled it where the album goes through the different strains. You go from a sativa to an indica to a hybrid on repeat based off of how a high.
I'm more of a sativa guy, but yeah.
So then you would like the sativa album. Yeah, it's gonna turn you up. You're gonna do the things. Hybrid might take you to a flow, and indica might get you some.
There you go.
So then there you go.
So with that being said, you know, we already, you know, we about to wrap it up. Any last words you'd like to share with us, the audience, you know, about you, anything coming up?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Everything is about connectivity, y'all. My whole thing is connectivity. Everybody's purpose is important, and it was necessary for us to accomplish that so that we could ultimately come together and rock and support one another. That's where I'm at. If you're ever doing anything, entertainment or need an entertainment need, reach out to Think Deep Entertainment, which is spelled with one E, T-H-I-N. K-D-E-P Entertainment. That's thinkdeepentertainment.biz on the web, or thinkdeepent on all the socials. Me directly is just thinkdeep, T-H-I-N-K-D-E-P. That's me on all social platforms and things like that. Like I say, the audiobook is coming up, Fall Back to Step Up. But This Shit Can't Wait. That's what's most important, because it can't. We need it. It's an urgency, y'all. It's going to be a lot of surprises. It's a creative journey that's just going to flow right. So, yeah, make sure you tap into that. And remember, nothing is happenstance. Everything you do, think deep.
I appreciate you for that, man. Round of applause. Where's my applause? Round of applause to you right there, my brother. I appreciate you doing your thing. And definitely we're gonna keep tabs on you, keep watching your journey out there. We got you here. And, of course, hey, anytime you want to reach out, definitely reach out to us at Excitement Radio.
Absolutely.
We're going to close it out with buy-in, all right?
Yeah, this is buy-in.
So we're going to close it out with that, man. So y'all stay tuned. Keep it locked right here, excitementradio.com. Your boy Ben Hout. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. That's at excitementradio.com. All right, let's jump into this one. Let's go.
Excitement Radio.
There you go.
Go. No, I'm not selfish. No, I'm not greedy. Yeah, damn right now, see me. Yeah, something about to do me. No, I'm not selfish. No, I'm not greedy. Hey, damn right now, see me. Yo, something about to do me. Buy in, I ain't looking at you, I ain't looking at you, but I'm interested in you, yeah. Bye, yeah. It ain't easy, ain't easy, ain't easy. Fluid don't guarantee entry, believe me. Duck, duck, goose, you the one I wanna choose. You the one I wanna choose, bye, yeah. Contrary to popular belief, fluid don't mean that it's easy. Bye, hey. Walk lightly, though I ain't that sweet. Gray sweat swinging, yeah, I know you see that me. Cut it short like a crop top, asking who let me out. Yo, girl, she at the house with me, we can work it out. No, I'm not selfish. No, I'm not greedy. Hey, that right now, see me. That right now, see me. Let's go. Bye. I ain't looking at you. I ain't looking at you, but I'm interested in you. Bye. It ain't easy, ain't easy, ain't easy. Fluid don't guarantee the entry. Believe me. Duck, 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 goose. You the one I wanna choose. I wanna choose. Bye. Contrary to popular belief, fluid don't mean that it's easy. Bye.
Turn the music up and tune in to Excited Radio.